I was going to preach this morning on carry on with one of the deadly sins, but the Lord changed my mind this morning, as he normally does. And what I want to do is, I want to go off of that a little bit and go on to what I want to do. And those of you there Wednesday night, I want to preach about what I preached about Wednesday night. I know there's a few of you there, and the most of you weren't there, but God just really impressed it upon my heart to do that. Monday night, Brother Scott preached on wrestling with the Lord. Tuesday night, Brother Tim preached on how the church has become unconscious. Those of you there, you know you heard that. Thursday night, Brother John, he preached a wonderful sermon. It was on how do we present ourselves before the Lord? How do we present ourselves? And then Brother Adam preached there Friday night about, you know, he was just so heartbroken and so burdened down. You could tell that with about how the church and how the, you know what, sometimes are we really concerned? Are we truly and really concerned? And that was preached all this week, and I thought, Lord, you know, do you want me to do something different this morning? You want to get? And he said, no. And I preached on this. And I'm going to be over in John. If you want to turn to John chapter 3, I'm going to get there too. I'm going to get to it in a minute. And I'm also going to be in Acts 1 and Acts chapter 2. One of the things I want to talk to you before we get up, stand, and read the word is, we have just come out of that revival. One of the definitions of revival that I looked at was this. It's an awakening or quickening of God's people back to their true nature and to their true purpose. That's what a revival is supposed to do. Have you ever looked up the word awakening and the word quickening and find out what they are? They're very interesting. Awakening, this is not Bible I'm talking about, just looking them up in definitions of them, is suddenly becoming aware of something. That's what awakening means. Ladies, do you know what quickening is? How many of you have ever been pregnant? You can raise your hand if you want. You know what quickening is? Quickening is when a pregnant woman starts to feel the baby move in the womb. That's what quickening is. You know what revival to me is? This awakening this past week? It's becoming aware of the moving of the Holy Spirit again in our lives. That's what it should be. That's the understanding. That's what it should be. Whenever you should understand, that's what quickening is. Quickening. God has definitely done a work in my life this week. And I pray for anybody that was there. Maybe you just here one night. I pray if you're here all night. I pray that God worked in your life and awakened you and stirred you to something that the Holy Spirit moving in your life. And my prayer for those who attended, I had the opportunity to worship with folks I hadn't worshiped with at least until last year. I seen old friends that I hadn't seen in a while. We got together with churches that most generally you wouldn't be together with these churches. And that was awesome. And I understand that was fun. But can I tell you something? But that's not what revival was about. I love getting together with people, but revival is about us getting on fire for God again and God moving in our lives in a purpose, in one accord, and in one mind. That's what it's not about family reunions. It's not about old friends getting together. It's not about all the gangs all here. It's not about any of that. Revivals is an improvement in the condition and strength of you. Renewed attention and interest in something. If you come out of revival this week, if you come out of it at any time ever, if you come out of revival, the same person that you were before you went into it, it did nothing for you. Can I have an amen this morning? Revival did nothing for you. Because revival is to stir us up and to lighten us up. The title of my sermon, like it was Wednesday night, is A Wind from Somewhere Else. If you would turn to John 3, and let's stand and read John 3, 6 and 8. If you can, please. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So let everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I am so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace and your love that you've bestowed upon. I thank you for the services this past week. I thank you for the preaching, Lord, the Father that can talk to not only all, but can talk to preachers as well. Lord, I praise you, Father, this morning for your goodness and mercy. Lord, I ask that you would open up hearts and minds here this morning, Lord, and we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. And you may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. And by the way, I want to add one more thing. This preacher has never felt unappreciated in this church. Do you understand that? I know this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I thank you for the gift, but I'm telling you, I have never once in my life ever felt underappreciated in this church. You have treated me fine, and you've treated me, and I'm blessed to have you as a congregation. You remember back in June, back whenever the wildfires were going on up in Canada, you remember how the smoke had come down in this area, how stagnant it was, how polluted that it was. And how that, you know what, if people have any kind of issues with asthma, if like my wife does, if anybody has any kind of issues with their sinuses, anything like that, it made life pretty miserable, didn't you? It was polluted and it was stagnant down here in this area. Some of the larger cities like Chicago, it was the worst air readings that had ever taken place in their history. That's how bad it was. And some people died from the smoke. They actually died from it. And at that time, I was thinking to myself, I thought this, and the Lord was dealing with me because I knew this revival was coming up. I was thinking to myself, we need a front to move through. We need a wind from someplace else to come through and blow all this stuff out of here, to blow the pollution out of here, to blow the stagnation out of here. We need it to clean up the air and make it fresh. And as I started thinking about that, God put a message within my heart. And I thank him for this. Those of you there Wednesday night know this. And in my spirit, he put it back in June for just whenever night I got to preach, that was the night that was supposed to be. I thought about preaching it here, but God said, no, that's where it needs to be preached. And I said it was a wind from someplace else. I believe if we want awakening, I believe if you want revival in your churches, if you want awakening and revival in your homes, if you want awakening and renewal in your communities, if you want awakening and renewal in our nation, things have to change. It cannot stay the same. You know the definition of insanity as well as I do. We can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result because it does not work. We need a wind from somewhere else to blow into our churches and blow the pollution and stagnation out of our churches, our homes, our communities, our nation, and blow it all out of there and get it out of there. Because brothers, as churches, sometimes we have become stagnant. We have become polluted with the things of this world. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. We have become accustomed to carrying the weight. We have. We have become accustomed to carrying the weight. And we just don't need to hopefully to keep on carrying it. We need to get rid of it. Amen? That's why I want you to go to Acts 2:1-2. I said we need a wind to blow in from someplace else. Say amen when you get there. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of what? A rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Brothers and sisters, what the church needs is a Pentecost, a Pentecost experience again. We need not just any wind. We need a mighty rushing wind to come into our churches, to come into our hearts, into our souls, and blow the nonsense out of there. We need that. We need it in our lives. We need it in our church. I ain't going to point it to any other church. We need it in our church. We need it in our home. We need it in our communities. We need it in our nation. And blow away the stagnation that's there. And blow away the pollution of sin that is there. And lift us up and set us on fire again. We need a mighty rushing wind. Jesus said this one time when talking about people's worship. Brothers and sisters, sometimes worship becomes stagnated. It becomes polluted. Matthew 15, 8, 9, Jesus said this, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain they do what? They worship in me. They worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men." People were honoring God with their mouth. They were giving a lot of lip service, right? That's what they were doing. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you what, we don't need to give lip service to a God that has done so much for us today. We need a mighty rushing wind in our hearts. We need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our worship. People were honoring God with their lips, but with their hearts, they were far from it. They would raise their hands to worship on the, worship Him, but on the inside they were dead. And that's happening so much. Lip service. You know what lip service is? It's saying something with your mouth, but your heart's not into it. Amen. I've seen it a lot of times. I've seen people say a lot of things with their mouth, but their heart's not into it. Can I tell you something this morning? God wants every bit of you. He wants not only your mind, He wants your heart, He wants your soul. He wants every bit of you here this morning. And if you're not willing to give that, I'm telling you, He doesn't want any of it. He wants all of it. He wants all of it. They were doing it for their own glory, not God's. Folks, I can tell you, I have been to sings. I have been to preaching. I have been to a lot of things down through the years. And Lord help me, I'm not judging, but by their fruits you will know them. I'm telling you, there was a lot of lip service. There was a lot of good singing. There was a lot of good preaching, but their hearts were not in it. Their hearts were not in it. And I'm telling you, God wants that wind to blow in from someplace else for these people and clean it out. Worship has become ritualistic. I see it in churches today. It's become ritualistic. Worship has done that. I see it today in individuals as well. I see it in myself from time to time. Can I be honest with you? Things can become ritualistic in my life. They can do that. That's why every now and then I say, God, listen, Lord, I need a touch from you. I need for you to blow some stuff out of me once in a while. Let me give you an example of how we can become ritualistic. Maybe you've seen this and maybe you've done this. We've all got up and sung church songs, have we not? We've got up and we've sung church songs on top of church songs down through the years, have we not? We've got them books open, or we've got up here and done them, and we started singing them songs. And as we sing them songs, we can hit every note. We can sing every word. We know every word. We know every verse. We know every chorus. But Greg, do we know what we're singing? Do we know what we're singing? Amen. It is well with my soul. Do you know that it is well with your soul this morning, or is it just a good song we sing? Amen. I'm just telling you, that's how we can become ritualistic. I'm giving you just one example, and it goes on and on and on. Brothers and sisters, our worship, our singing, everything that we do needs the mighty rushing wind experience. We need the Holy Spirit upon it so we can say, Lord, yes, it is well with my soul. And I know that it is. I don't care if I miss every other word. I don't care if I don't know the chorus. All I know is it is well with my soul. Listen, because we are singing these songs supposedly to worship the God that we serve. Amen? Our testimonies are supposedly to give a testimony to the God that we serve. To praise Him for what He's done. Imagine doing that all the time and all the time. How vain would that be? How vain would that be? We need that mighty rushing wind experience to rush over us in our worship and give us that experience and let us help us to understand and help us to know and make it authentic and real. Can I have an amen? Amen. Amen. Make our worship powerful. Can worship be powerful? It absolutely. In John 4:24 it says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him how? Spirit and in truth. If you are going to praise Him and worship Him this morning, don't just stand up just because. Stand up and worship Him because God has the Spirit of God has just flooded over you and you are so awestruck at Him. Amen. Praise His name this morning. Praise His name this morning. Listen, I don't worry. Tink knows this. I mess up songs all the time. I change the words all the time. I don't mean to. I don't mean to. But brothers and sisters, when you're into it, when you're into it, praise God this morning. Listen to me. God understands. Amen. It may be a you instead of a thee. but praise the Lord this morning. Praise His name. Listen, anything other than that is not worship if it's not done in spirit and truth. Listen, it is powerful. In 2 Chronicles 20:21, and I've preached on this a while back, and some of you have mentioned it here. Jehoshaphat sent out the praise team into battle first. What are you battling here this morning? Can I tell you something? If praise is true and faithful and worship is true and faithful, send out the praise first. Send it out first. Send it out into the battle for you first. I'm telling you, praise God this morning. Listen, we need to continue with that mighty rushing wind experience that started the church back at Pentecost. Can I tell you something? Jesus left this world. And when Jesus left this world, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to send a comforter. That's what He said. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I need Him. I need Him. I need Him. I need him from time to time in my life. I need Him all the time. I need Him to be in my heart and to show me and to guide and direct me. Because I'm telling you, Ron, I'll make a mess of it. I've made a mess of things in my life before. And I'm telling you, without the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, you'll make a mess of your life. Listen, I read 2 Chronicles. It said, and when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness, and that they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Send out the praise team. Send it out. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our worship to lead, guide, and direct us. We need it. Don't worry if everything's not perfect. Worry if the Spirit's not there. This preacher here is not looking for perfection because you're not looking at perfection. You're not looking at it. I'm not expecting you to be perfect. But brother says, what I expect is that whenever you worship and praise the Lord, I want it to be real and I want it to be true. Amen. I mean, that's it. That's it. Don't worry. God understands the heart. A mighty rushing wind needs to sweep over the leaders of our churches. Can I have an amen? Can I have an amen for that? This breaks my heart more than in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus called the spiritual leaders of that day, He called them hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. He also said in Matthew 15 that the blind leaders are the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall do what? You're going to fall into the ditch. There's a lot of spiritual leaders out there that are leading their congregations into a ditch. They're leading them there. You're saying, you're judging, Dave. No, I'm not judging. By their fruits you shall know them. Amen. Jeremiah 23:1, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Listen, we are living in a time like that. We are living that. We're living in a time when they call evil good and good evil. We're living in a time when they put darkness for light and the light for darkness, and they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're living in those days. That's why I tell you this morning, we need a mighty rushing wind experience, because I'm telling you, when that comes through, it'll change men's hearts and people's hearts will change. Congregations will change. Our nation will change. People sitting in churches, maybe sitting here this morning, maybe in your house or maybe part of your family. I don't know you. But this verse fits him. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those are probably some of the most, those are the saddest verses I think that I could read out of the Bible. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Because you know what? There's a lot of people out there saying, Lord, Lord. And their hearts isn't right. They need a mighty rushing wind experience in their life. The only thing that can change this is for true heartfelt repentance and true heartfelt Holy Spirit revival in their lives. That's the only thing that can change somebody like that. Because you're not going to. You're not going to. You can witness all you want. Unless the Holy Spirit's there in it, it's just going to be words to them. That's all it's going to be. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive them of their sins and heal their land. I'm telling you, you want revival in this nation? It's got to start right here, right now, not outside these walls, not outside there. It's got to start with each and every one of us in this room. You want awakening into your family? It's got to start with you. It cannot start with anybody else. You want revival within your church and in your community? It's got to start with you. Are you hungry enough for revival that you would be willing to do anything to have it? Because that's what's going to happen if you want heartfelt revival to break out. That's what's going to have to happen. And to a man who after he said, listen, can you make a change? Absolutely. I know a man that cursed Jesus and denied him 3 times. We read about him, right? It's exactly what he did. He cursed him and denied him 3 times. And you know what happened to that man? He come to know Jesus. He come to know the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And you know what? That man was different from that time on. That man was, you know what he did? He ended up dying crucified like Christ, only upside down. Amen. That's how it was. Listen, I asked you here this morning, and this is just a question for me as well as you. Are you willing to give up everything to follow the Lord? They talked about the other night, John put a video up there. How many of you were there the other night and seen that video John put up? Wasn't that awesome? He talked about a missionary overseas. He went over to this area where there's headhunters. And when he was over there, people were getting saved, and this judge or whoever he was that's over this tribe didn't like it. So what they done, they called this man, his wife, and his 2 kids. And stood before them. And he told that man, he said, you denounce Jesus or I'm killing your wife. And what was the song that he wrote because of that, guys? You remember what the song was? If none goes. This is how the song was done. This is how I will follow thee. That's it. This is how that song was written. Next time you listen, this is a true story, by the way. He stood him before him and he said, I'm going to kill your wife if you do not denounce Jesus. He says, it's one of the verses of the song. He said, I can't do it anyway. They killed his wife. He said, denounce Jesus or we're killing your sons. He said, I can't do it. And it was the second verse of that song. He said, that's what he said. And he killed his sons. And he stood there and he said, well, what about you? And he said, there's nothing left anyway. But he said, I can't denounce Jesus anyway. And they killed him as well. And you know what happened? That king or that judge looked around and seen what he had did. And he said, well, that God must be real. And he bowed down right then and there and he got saved. And then that whole tribe got saved because of that. That's a true story. The video, if I ever find a video, I'm going to play it for you. But I'm telling you, are you willing to give up everything for a soul? I'm telling you, that's a hard question, is it not? Amen. That's not something you better take lightly. Because, brothers, in one of these days, your soul may be required of you for that. They gladly received the word and were baptized. It says here, now when they heard this, they were, remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the sermon of sermons, right? Whenever he preached it, how many people got saved? 3,000. 3,000 people got saved. I'll read you the scripture now on. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. And ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many others words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In verse 41, and they gladly received the word and were baptized. And that same day there were added 3,000 souls. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit coming down, taking a hold of somebody. Listen, without Holy Ghost-filled preaching, without Holy Ghost-filled teaching, without Holy Ghost-filled anything you want to sing, whatever you want to add to it, that's where the power of God comes down to save souls. That's where it's at. Praise His name this evening. Praise His name. Listen, what changed? He had an encounter with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he had that's what changed in Peter. Listen, Paul. Oh, Paul was, he was taking Christians and he was putting them in prison. He was getting them killed. He was after them no matter where he could go. No matter what he could do, he thought he was doing it for the Lord. Remember? He thought he was doing it for the Lord. You know what happened? Number one, he met Jesus. Number two, Ananias came in and laid hands on him and prayed for him. Guess what he received? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Exactly what he received. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, brother and sister, we need a Holy Ghost, Pentecost, mighty rushing wind to rush in and, brother and sister, light us on fire. What a change. Ananias, in verse 9, said, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hand on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and he arose and he was baptized. Amen. What changed in Brother Paul? Listen, brothers and sisters, we can see it. The man got saved and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can things change in your life today and mine? Absolutely. The God that I serve is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You sit back there and you let the devil lie in your ear and tell you that there's nothing to this and that you know what, or maybe saying there's, I'm just no good, I can't change. Let me tell you something, you can't change. I'm telling you right up front, you can't change. But can I tell you something? You give it to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit floods your life and there will be a change in your life. Can man's hearts change? Yes. Government, politicians can't. I mean, they can only do so far. They can't change your soul. Amen? Can self-help books and all the pills in the world and all the counseling in the world help you? Maybe. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to help your soul. Amen? Listen, I like the song, Old Buddha. You know, and most of you have heard it, but it says this in one part of it. It says, meditation of the soul, meditation of your mind won't save your soul. Amen? You can meditate all you want. Brother and sister, you need to pray to the one who sent his son to die upon the cross for you. The day of Pentecost experience, that mighty rushing wind, that's what can change lives. Sweeping away the doubt. It can sweep away the confusion. It can sweep away the despair. It can sweep away the hopelessness. It can take a drug addict and make them clean. It can take an alcoholic and dry them out. That's the God that I serve. And more importantly than drying them out and making them clean, it can save their soul. Amen. That's the most important thing. Praise His name this morning. Brother said, we need a mighty rushing wind to come upon us. And I'm telling you this morning, Julie, get a song ready, please. Listen, the Holy Spirit isn't just an add-on. I want to tell you this to you this morning. I'm going to be up front with you. to our lives. It's a necessity. The outpouring of Spirit was just not for salvation, for the empowering and the keeping and the guidance of your life. That's what it's about. If we would win this nation over again, that mighty rushing wind needs to blow in and blow all the pollution out of it. All the stagnation out of our churches. I'm telling you, I praise God this morning. I hope and pray that you got out of this what God has been trying me to get across the last few months in this. But I'm telling you, I praise his name this morning that we serve a God that is so good to us. Amen. If you would, let's stand. Julie, what do we got?